Hey, go-getters, let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP439267V1.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary. For a limited time only.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Well, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome back to Short Hops and Tall Tales, a pitcherless podcast highlighting the weird, funny, and bizarre elements of baseball that really make America's pastime special. I'm once again joined by the effervescent Brandon Ooh. Riddle, and we are excited to bring you in
Yep.
It's been a while since I just botched one of these, just murdered.
Yeah, you're on a pretty good run there.
I was doing all right. We are very excited to bring you another episode jam-packed with weird baseball. And that's what we have in store. Brandon, two questions. How are you doing today? And what do we have on tap?
Two answers. I'm trying to figure out what effervescent actually means. I know the word, but I don't know the actual definition. And doing well out here. I'm visiting Boston. Well, I'll talk about that later on in the episode.
Okay.
As far as what we're talking about today, unfortunately, it seems to be a New York themed show. So I apologize to that. Yeah, that was unintentional. So we got topics like trim those sideburns. And it's all about the Yankees' weird facial hair rule, which is weird for a variety of reasons. We're going to talk something about snowmen. So I'm assuming one of us, probably me, is going to say a few times, "Do you want to build a snowman?" And then finally, we're going to round it out with 1962 Mets.
You know,
we'll find out.
I feel like you're expecting more opposition from my end to your the Frozen bit just now, but I wholeheartedly endorse Frozen my favorite.
The worst thing is, I've not actually seen Frozen, but it pops up in Deadpool 2.
It's a classic. Oh, come on. All right. Anyway, baseball season, or at least fantasy baseball season's wrapping up this week, I believe, is the final week for playoffs.
For some leagues. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for some leages.
I know one of my teams is listening, so I apologize to that team.
I know we don't really talk about fantasy baseball a whole lot because it's not really the focus. We're more on the story element. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it'd be fun to mention. How are you doing this? Is there we fighting for any championships over there? I know our podcast league that we're in, Short Hops and Tall Tales, is not exactly.
We've had a bad second half. We had a great first half. We were like in third place for a little bit, I think. But to be fair, we are in the league where people emphasize fantasy and all their podcasts and writings. And we're just like, we like Mookie because his name sounds funny.
Honestly, we're in 10th out of 14th. And we're above at least four teams that theoretically, based on content, should be better at fantasy baseball than us.
So I shame on them. but beyond that, I have my home league, which I'm hanging on to narrowly. This would be 3 years in a row.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, everyone hates me.
Yeah, no, I can relate. Fantasy football just started, of course, and I'm going for a three-peat in one of my home leagues.
Ooh.
And we've got a deal in place that if I win the third year in a row, we're naming the league after me.
Well, that's nice.
My vanity knows no bounds when it comes to fantasy sports.
If I win three in a row, they're just going to quit the league. So yeah, I think you may have better friends.
Or more masochistic.
There we go.
Anyway, let's get things rolling here. So some pickoff trivia.
Yeah. I guess I should read this one because I know the answer to this one.
Okay. So read it, and then what kind of prompted this question?
All right, so the trivia is, who was the last major league pitcher to win 30 games in a season? And the idea behind that is that I was very short on time this week, so I pulled some trivia out of my behind, and there we go.
There you go. Okay. I was just wondering if you had like seen it in like a broadcast or something.
No, not this time.
30 games, that's a ton, and nobody throws... I mean, people don't throw nearly enough games, in modern day. So yeah. I think really the key to this is going to figure out, okay, when was the last, like, when did people stop?
Yeah, when can they win 25 games and be right? I mean,
and I feel like this is something that I want to say might have even persisted up through, like, I could see this happening in, like, maybe, like, the early to mid 80s. Okay. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's... But not a whole lot later than that. Like I think even by the 90s
like something that Roger Clemens would have got close to. Let me pull up his stats. It's not Roger Clemens, but I just want to check because it seems like something he got close to. He got 24 wins in 86, so you're kind of right there. But not Clemens. I'll give you a hint. He played for the Tigers. He had a really strange career and probably a stranger life. We talked about him actually like months ago now.
Are we? So this is weird. And I feel like if I get this right, I'm going to get accused of cheating. Is it Denny McClain?
It is Denny McClain. You're exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. No, because, so that's so funny because when did we talk about Denny McClain? Because I always think of him, of course, in reference to 1968. Obviously, he had the lesser, although still wildly, historical seasons between himself and Bob Gibson, of course, in the year of the pitcher. So Denny McClain, really, what year was that?
1963.
Wow. 63. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I was way off in thinking that it could have happened in the 80s.
And then he got involved with drugs and organized crime and all went downhill from there.
I'm sorry, what?
He got involved with organized crime and gambling. Oh, yeah. It was a whole big thing. I think it was like 2 or 3 years after he won 30 games, he was out of the league.
I had no, really?
Yeah, so you said Bob Gibson. So maybe we're thinking about kind of two different people. But yeah, it was McClain who won 30 games at least.
We must be thinking of...
Well, maybe I'm wrong, even though I wrote about the guy, but I'm probably wrong.
No, I mean, it says he was done in 1972.
I was way off. Okay.
1972.
So but look that at you go.
28. 1968 with the Tigers. He threw 336 innings.
My goodness.
And had.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, the Cy Young winning season.
A 0.9 WHIP, a 196 ERA.
What a silly thing! What a silly thing!
Yeah. So 1968, he won 31 games. That's wild.
I love to see those unbalanced stats like 35 wins in a season and 380 innings pitched. I just love seeing those. And unless we have some kind of glorious knuckleballer come back into the league, I don't know if we're going to see those again.
But that's the thing is, even if we have, I feel like even if we do have a knuckleball pitcher, like we're still not going to get usage like that. Like even,
well, yeah.
Even though a knuckleball pitcher like theoretically could pitch, I don't know what the exact number would be, but like say you could throw like twice as many games as a normal pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's like half as much strain. Of course, that's not exact or specific at all, but like hypothetically say that was possible. Like I still don't think they would make all of those starts. I just think 30 games, not only to start, but to win is just,
yeah,
so,
that's impressive.
That's never going to happen again.
And, well, you know, don't say never again, because the game goes, you know, in waves. And we'll see what next wave in 10, 20 years comes by through.
Yeah.
They change rules, and maybe that will introduce a plethora of knuckleballers. Like the golden age of baseball will finally be upon us again when every team has three knuckleballers. Let's do it.
Honestly, I think I both don't want to wish that on anyone, but I also would love to see that happen. That would be wildly eccentric.
All right. So before we go off on a tangent about knuckleballers, since we can do that at any time, let's get into our first segment here, Noah.
First segment. All right. So this is one of the, I feel like every week we, or at least recently, we try to pick up we try to take one weird little strand of baseball history, mm-hmm. or
a little hair
element. I don't know. It's a weird, this metaphor is already off track, but like it and just kind of like highlight it. And one of the little weird little nuggets about baseball that I think is just both wildly ridiculous and we'll get to the bottom of it, but we'll talk about it. It's the Yankees weird facial hair rule, and that's what we're going to get into today. So for those mm-hmm. of you listening at home that maybe are hearing about this for the first time, there's this very famous rule that the Yankees have where you have to have your hair has to be tidy, well kept. You can't have any big beards.
A lot of different ways to look at it. I'm sure we're going to get into those. So I'm actually going to step back and not say anything.
Right. So I did figure, you know, I was trying to, because I do have a pool of topics that I think, you know, it'd be cool to do an episode on at some point in the future. So I went into that for some inspiration. I was thinking, you know what, one month until No Shave November, we got to talk about some weird stashes, some weird facial hair, and then just overall this really silly rule. So this Yankees, you know, facial hair rule, I always thought it was this very long standing tradition that dated back like 80 to 100 years or something like that. It's of course been the death of many famous baseball beards and mustaches, such as Randy Johnson.
Mm.
Of course, he had that really long,
glorious lock of hair,
and you know, he cut it real, real tight. Johnny Damon straight up looked like a caveman in Boston with that huge beard and the huge sweeping hair,
the Jesus hair.
Kevin Youkilis, in my notes, I just have just no, because he had that. He went both from wearing a Red Sox uniform and having a great, great goatee to just Yankees and clean shaven.
So just being like a regular NPC.
It was like bizarro Kevin Youkilis, right? Like, mm-hmm. And then most recently we had Garrett Cole. He had a pretty solid beard going when he was pitching in Houston. And then Rougned Odor, who actually also had just a killer beard going that he shaved when he went to New York. And it's prompted, especially those recent two, transactions, it's really prompted this discussion about this rule and kind of both where it came from, as well as, you know, why does it still exist?
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of an issue now.
Right. Yeah. And so, like I said earlier, I was always under the impression that, like most weird, you know, just wacky baseball traditions, I just thought it was 100 years old, right? I just thought it was baked into the baseball.
Yeah, because you look at pictures of Ruth and Gehrig and DiMaggio, you don't see any like 5 o'clock shadows of long hair. They're just clean cut folk.
Yeah, but it actually came about in 1973, which if you kind of think about just hairstyle trends, I guess, in America,
this makes sense.
over the decades, that kind of does make sense as hair starts to get pretty long. So
they had the counterculture.
Exactly. Yeah. And so 73 Yankees owner George Steinbrenner, he was down on the field and noticed several of his players looking really sloppy and just unkempt one game while they were standing for the national anthem. This is also just a hilarious side note, but allegedly he actually didn't know the players' names from where he was. So he just wrote down their numbers to give to the manager. It just reportedly among the names was like Thurman Munson, the legendary Yankees catcher. You had Bobby Mercer, Sparky Lyle.
There's so much wrong with that. Own the team. I don't know who you are. I'm going to write down your numbers and say do better. It's like so much wrong.
It's comical. It's really like this just what's the name of the whatever the name of the owner was in Major League that was like the villain in the story. Mm-hmm. It was just like so far removed from obviously the Steinbrenners cared very much about the Yankees, but like just it's just kind of comical being the owner. Like, I don't know who these guys' names are, so I'm just going to write down their numbers.
Yeah.
So he essentially tattled on or you know, the hammer came down from up top to the Yankees clubhouse. And so soon after, an appearance policy was instituted for the Yankees that stated, and this is verbatim, it's all players, coaches, and male executives are forbidden to display any facial hair other than mustaches, and scalp hair may not be grown below the collar. Long sideburns and mutton chops are not specifically banned. So I guess this was because Steinbrenner wanted the team to appear more corporate, more professional. And he had been possibly influenced because he actually was in the Air Force, and that was his background, was very clean shaven.
Sure.
And I just think it's just kind of ridiculous today, especially just to think like, oh yeah, your hairstyle has some indication of like how people, you know, how corporate or how professional you are. Like, I understand mm-hmm. it's like the perception here that Steinbrenner wrongly has, but it's just like, it's wild. So now we're going to go through the timeline a little bit. So now it's established 1973. We're going to go through some incidents that cropped up surrounding this.
Love
this
incidents.
That kind of got the Yankees into, because I feel like this happens every 5 to 10 years. There's a news story about some player who's like, yeah, I'm not going to cut my hair to go to the Yankees, or, you know, there's some weird dispute for a little bit. So anyway, flash forward 1977. Once again, it's Thurman Munson, a repeat offender. So he started growing out a beard on a road trip. And so Steinbrenner sees it and basically says, you know, like, you know, Billy Martin, the manager, is like, he's not controlling his players. He needs to better control his clubhouse, because apparently a guy growing a beard, like, that's just so disrespectful. I feel like he's a grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
Like to have someone supervise your facial hair. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, do they have inspections? So that's.
Okay. I can just see Steinbrenner going around like a ruler measuring the sideburns or the hair in the back.
Right.
You 2.6 inches? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so that's 77. 83, literally, like I said, like 5 years later, 6 years later, the Yankees actually now traded for. They have Goose Gossage, the fireballing. Relief pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so Goose Gossage at the time in 83 was working on a full beard, and Steinbrenner said, nope, that's not gonna go. So Goose shaved it down, and almost a little bit of an act of
defiance,
almost like, yeah, defiance, malicious compliance.
Ooh, too. Nice.
Like, it's a good,
thanks, Reddit.
Good, yeah. He shaved it down into his what became an iconic handlebar mustache. It became as like his signature. That's, along with his 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, that was one of the two good things to come out of this rule, was Goose Gossage's mustache.
Right. And now he rocks it even today. Goose Gossage is like 70, 80 years old. So you want to see a righteous mustache. That's the other thing. It's like, we're going to start dropping some names and some mustaches. Look these up on your phone when you get a chance, or on the internet, because the photos are just so, they're great. They're
peak awesome. 70s and 80s.
Yeah. And then of course, fast forward to 1991. This is probably the most famous incident that came out of this. So Don Mattingly, the slugging first baseman at the time, on the, you know, way down in his career, he was rocking a righteous mullet when Steinbrenner barked at him to get a haircut. So earlier in the season, Mattingly had actually requested a trade. And so he grows out his hair a little bit as, once again, like this act of defiance. And also just because his mullet, like, you pull up a photo, like I said, it was sick. Like, he had like fully cultivated lettuce back there, right? Like, mm-hmm. he looked like it was like an 80 grade mullet at the time. So I understand not wanting to, you know, cut it and chop away all that hard work. So Mattingly actually refuses, and he gets benched over his hairstyle. Despite at the time he's hitting 305 with a 771 on base.
My goodness. Slugging.
So he gets benched, and of course, all the New York media and fans around the league just laugh at the Yankees because you're going to bench Don Mattingly for his hairstyle. It's ridiculous.
Who's killing it? Who's killing it at bat right now?
I mean, he wasn't as good as he had been because he was, but like, he was still hitting 305.
And he's the name.
He's Don Mattingly. He's a fan favorite. Like, you can't. But so anyway, so they bench him for a game. He actually plays the next day with his hair still long before finally agreeing to cut it following that game. And it's really funny, though, that everyone just like, I can't imagine a situation where somebody, where you're going to bench one of your better players for something that's, it's not even really a character. It's not like he got in a fight with his manager. It's just like over his hair.
No.
And what Mattingly had said was that, like, so I guess the way it had been communicated to Don Mattingly at the time was that they had actually sat him without really telling him why he was being sat at first. And he found out like a couple days later. And that's what really made him just incensed was, oh, it's about the
they
hair.
Didn't tell me. I mean, you would almost figure that the press would find out like the. Yeah. Right after the game, they start asking questions and realize why he was benched. And to find out that way as well, that's not respectful at all.
Yeah. And so it all, so eventually he does cut his hair, and it does have a bit of a silver lining ending where they auctioned it off for charity at the time. As well as we got one of the most iconic Simpsons episodes, or at least jokes, I feel like, from this debacle. And so this is where it gets really weird. So in, yes, Brandon.
Thank you for calling on me, Noah. So this is where it gets weird. So today, selling hair is probably normal and commonplace. But in 1991, selling locks, I mean, it's still kind of weird. But in 91, before the internet, selling hair had to be really weird. So I think it got weird then.
I mean, I feel like it's probably the same amount of weird, right? Like in the sense, right, yeah. Like it's for charity, so it's not that weird.
Is that how you cover up the weird? Oh, we did this, but it was for charity. Okay.
We never think about where it goes, though, I suppose, because, like, does somebody just get, like, is Don Mattingly?
There is some weird Silence of the Lambs stuff going on there.
In a shadow box. Like, in a very, like, ornate, like, display case, you just got Don Mattingly's mullet from the summer of 1991. Honestly, that'd be pretty sweet.
We can keep going off that, so I'm gonna let that one go. Continue.
That'd be a good luck charm, I feel like. Would you wear it? Would you wear his on top of your own?
Okay, no, so here's what I would do, Noah. Here's what I would do. Take each individual strand and use it as extenders as my own and my own hair. Ooh. So I could be wearing his hair.
That's a true fan.
That's a true fan, definitely not creepy. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're done. Okay. So anyway, so the Simpsons actually made an episode about Homer Simpson, or essentially it's they gather many MLB stars from the current
day. Greatest, right? Simpsons episode of all time.
There you go. And it included Don Mattingly. And so there's this joke in the show where Don Mattingly actually gets sat because Mr. Burns, who is running the team, he kicks him off the team because Don Mattingly's sideburns are too long. Now everyone thinks that this is actually they're parodying the real life event. But what's super weird about this is that according to the Simpsons producer, John Vitti, the script where it was written and ready to record for that episode with that joke in it, it was all written and finished with a month before it happened in real life. So the script was done in July, and this all went down in August. Man,
Simpsons did it.
It's
always
so
how
weird.
It works.
It's so weird. And so this producer, he was saying, he's like, yeah, when those things happened, the first thing we thought was like, hey, this is great. And we thought like, no, wait, it's not. Because no one's ever going to believe that we actually wrote these things before they happened. And then even Mattingly said that the weird thing is that everyone thought that they had written it in later, but they didn't. So I don't think Mattingly would have any reason to lie about this at all. But
why would he? No.
Yeah. And that wasn't even the last, because we need to move on from Don Mattingly here. That wasn't even the last dispute that he had over his hair. In 1995, they complained about his goatee, so he had to end up shaving it down to a mustache. And just to quickly wrap up the mustache rule before I guess we can close out with a couple questions. The Yankees players actually took back their right to facial hair in 2015 when the Stash Squad was formed by Yankees players led by Brett Gardner during the playoff run down the stretch. A bunch of players started growing out mustaches. I thought that was kind of interesting. Because those are permitted under the rule.
Yeah, sure.
And then, of course, multiple free agents today, players have spoken out about the team-specific rule, including Andrew McCutchen, David Price, Brian Wilson, the closer, not the Beach Boy. All people with very, very famous hair or facial hair. Basically saying that, yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to play for this team if this is, you know, what they're going to make me do. And I guess my question to you, Brandon, is do you think that this actually significantly affects the Yankees' pursuit of free agents? Like, do you think that this was a major consideration for someone like Gerrit Cole when they're sliding a $324 million check in front of him?
Also, I do not think it impacts how they get free agents. I mean, at the end of the day, they are the Yankees. They have the pocketbooks. They can help with the pain. I absolutely hate the rule. I remember when Kutch went over there, I think it was like 2018, right. I want to say, and he had glorious locks of hair. And it's not just, it's not even about being unkempt. To many players, it's their culture. It's where they come from. They're proud of the hair. And so they have to cut it off. It's completely demeaning. And it's, I'm sorry, a little soapbox. It's the 1970s ideology, which was wrong then. Put in to 2021 when there are more magnifying glasses on you and we know what's right and wrong. Don't always act like it. It's just doesn't exist. It has no place in today's game in my mind.
It feels like to me just a relic of that old boomer kind of like, yeah, we're going to throw a baseball at somebody because they flipped a bat and celebrate.
Yeah. And if you're 1971,
it's like, come on.
And if you're 1971 Steinbrenner who just, you know, was in the Air Force or that kind of thing, it made sense in his mind.
Yeah.
But we're not in, you know, we don't have the Korean War around this anymore. So I think things are a little bit different.
It doesn't even make sense then. I feel like it's just like, and it's just, it doesn't make sense either because it's such a, okay. Like maybe you can make the argument that Steinbrenner from a different generation, like that's why he made it, but to keep it around today makes no sense because all it is harming the team, right? By you know, because obviously, yeah, if you they've got enough money and they're the Yankees with a capital Yankees, so that's not gonna really dissuade anyone seriously, but it is gonna, I'm sure people think about it, right? And you know, and I feel like that's just not something.
And you know, all the, you know, cultural wrongs aside for a moment, like you're depriving the fans and players of so much fun. Like think of some of your favorite hairstyles in baseball, like today and in the past, like Oscar Gamble with a glorious afro and beard.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
And that's what's ridiculous. It's all just expression, right? Like you're not going to tell me that Fernando Tatis Jr. is not professional because he's got blonde dreadlocks. Like they're dope. And he's one of the best players in baseball. He's the face of baseball right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you're going to tell me that your team's not going to sign him because you don't think it's a professional.
Or you're going to make him cut his hair like Vladdy Jr. is the same way. And I love Acuna's hair. I love all that. It just brings.
Just let people be who they want to be. Let people be who they are. And then they're going to play better as well. Yeah. Like,
they're not harming anyone. It's great.
It's dumb. It's outdated. I feel like we're both on the same page about this.
Agreed.
So before we close this off, I did want to leave a quote from Lou Piniella when he actually was traded to the Yankees in spring training in 1974. He said, you know, he didn't know Steinbrenner very well back then. So he was just joking around, kind of feeling him out. And he said, Steinbrenner, he said, our Lord Jesus Christ had long hair and things seemed to work out for him. So I guess George Steinbrenner, he doesn't say a word and he says, come with me. And so he walks across
he's going to shoot him.
He walks him, walks him across the street to the Fort Lauderdale swimming pool. And he said, if you can walk on water, you can wear your hair any way you want.
that's a fun little quote right there.
It's just so dumb. And it's just so George Steinbrenner. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Right. And really quick as well, right. I'd be a terrible Diamondbacks fan if I didn't mention my favorite facial hair of all time, Clay Zavatta, with a glorious curled mustache. Miss him. I miss you, Clay.
Yeah. No, what are some of your favorite facial hairstyles in baseball hair? Is that a thing? Facial hairstyles?
Well, of course, I always think of the 1800s. Twirly mustache, which is why I love about this mustache. It was a callback to that. You can see him kind of twisting in the dugout. It was all great and awesome.
Yeah. Gotta go Raleigh Fingers, number one, right?
Yeah, exactly. With Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah. That might be the single best baseball facial hair. I think it's the most iconic, maybe not the best.
I think it is, unless you're a Giants fan, and then you go, the beard, Brian Wilson, sure. Brian
Wilson.
The one thing that was bigger than his ego was his beard. But man, that guy could pitch though. He could absolutely pitch
until he came to LA.
Until he couldn't.
The really slept on facial hair. So pretty much anyone who played in the 80s had great.
It was mandatory.
Or beard or something. But Eddie Murray always really stands out to me. Photos of him from like 1985, you know, where he's got like the lamb chops, the sideburns down the side that connect into his handlebar mustache.
Yes.
It is the coolest. I wish someone would bring it back today because it looks so cool.
That's true. That's a good look. I think of Mike Schmidt as well, who just had the basic Mike mustache, Schmidt. But it was an iconic mustache.
It was just the brick and mortar tough guy mustache, like the Tom Selleck-esque
kind. Going to work with a hard hat on, I get my mustache with me because I'm in Philly. That's how they talk.
In the truck, and then, so today, who's got the best one today? I think Mike Fiers, a couple of years back, he had the...
That's right. He kind of carved that. Uh-huh.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, Google Mike Fiers mustache, and he had it looked like a worm that went... It was like a full mustache.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a goatee that only connected on one side.
Yeah, and then it twirled around on his.
It was like a spiral around.
Very unique looking. I'll give him that.
It was weird. So that's got to be up there. So, other modern pitchers, there's got to be. Craig Kimbrell's got a solid beard.
Yeah, some of these yelling at us right now, how can you not say this pitcher with his glorious? I'm so sorry. I don't always watch the Twins. All right.
All right.
So with that, let's kind of shave that topic off. And now let's go to the pickle jar.
The pickle jar.
I read this one. I had no idea what it meant. So again, the pickle jar is when we talk about baseball lingo and figure out what it means. Because there's so much stuff that baseball players say. This one, surprisingly, I have never heard of. How did you come out with this one?
I had never heard of this one either. And so I it's funny because I actually have a book that is a bunch of baseball words and baseball phrases and terms and stuff. Cause I got it for a birthday one year and it's super fun to just read through. Cause it's interesting. But I just, I don't know. It wasn't a very interesting origin to how I decided to deal with this term.
Run with it.
Not that interesting. You Googled something for the pickoff trivia, so I'm not feeling. Anyway, so Hang a Snowman. I was looking through the index, and this jumped out to me, and it just sounded super super weird, super dark, and I had never heard this before. And I think it's because we're kind of at the point where all of the easy pickings, kind of baseball terms are we've done, so now we're into the really we're getting weird with it.
We're into the weeds here, folks.
Is this week, Brandon? What do you think it means?
Oh my goodness! So in the notes, I say what the actual F. I have no idea what this means. So I thought about it for a moment, and I went with imagery. If you try to hang a snowman, well, the noose is going to go right through its neck like it didn't exist because it's made of snow. So I'm thinking he swings right through the pitch. It's going straight through the neck.
I wasn't with you, but you did kind of tie it together there.
That's a noose, not a
horrible guess. Okay. That's the thing is the actual term just sounds so dark. The imagery is not great to work with, but yeah, okay. It's a stretch, but I'll allow it. So really going right through something like snow, I guess, or
it's fluffy snow. Maybe. Sure.
Kind of, I could see it. And so I asked a couple of my friends, well, I less asked and more just like dropped it in the group chat and hoped that someone would actually respond. And I did get, something that was interesting. And so my friend Owen said it was, he thinks it's referring to the categories of runs, hits, and errors all being zero.
Oh.
And in the olden times, when people would actually hang those values on the scoreboard, when they would stack up, they would look like a snowman.
And sure.
That is incredibly accurate, actually. That's very spot on because, well, it's not. Okay, actually, no, that's not spot on. It's close. It's almost there. He was right in the sense that it is a scoreboard visual, except instead of having, you know, like a zero above a zero, like in the runs, hits, and errors,
mm-hmm.
hang a snowman is to score 8 runs in an inning. Because if you think about it, an 8 looks like a little snowman. Yeah.
And then if you had the zero, like if you have the zero from the other yeah. side as well, maybe. So it's a whole 3-bodied snowman.
It's a little convoluted, but I see where it comes from.
Okay.
And I feel like it's also one of those terms where I think like, oh, there's no way people actually say that. And then a couple weeks later, I know I'm going to hear it on the radio or something. Like that happened
recently. Yeah, we were talking about a subject, and then we saw a player on TV had that shirt that had the saying. Do you remember what that was?
I'm not sure, but I did hear somebody, Charlie Steiner, the other day, talked about the catbird seat, and I was like, "Whoa!
Hey, the catbird seats."
People actually like said. I thought that was a short hops and tall tales word.
It exists. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I wish I could find the origin. Did you find any origin for this one? Because I did do a quick look, but if you Google "hang a snowman,"
it's
don't.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, so I went to the whole newspapers.com thing. I did that origin search, but it just doesn't exist in terms of baseball.
I couldn't find it, and I think it's probably one of those things where it's just more colloquial, where people just kind of hey, it kind of looks like a
offhandedly
snowman.
Yeah,
exactly. And it is pretty rare because you know neither of us. I don't know. That sounds arrogant. It's rare because we haven't heard about it. There's a ton of things we haven't heard about, but you know, just anecdotally, I feel like it's rare because
we're like a pair of Matamodios. Am I right, guys?
A pair of what?
Matamodios. Come on. Where are my Jeopardy fans at?
Oh, all right. So that's hang a snowman. A little dark there. And so we're going to lighten things up. We're going back to New York City for The Lovable Losers, a presentation by Brandon Riddle.
Thank you, Noah. In this presentation, we would talk about 1962. Oh, okay. So what happened here? 1962 Mets and the Lovable Losers. This kind of found its way in another convoluted way, which they always do. Last night, I got to go to a Red Sox game, which was super cool because I've never been to Fenway before. So I'll just very quickly about Fenway.
How was that?
Well, it lives up to the hype. I saw the Mets play out there, and it was practically packed, and I kept hearing people say it's like a playoff game in here, which is very exciting to hear. The stadium's beautiful, the food was decent, the beers were expensive. It's everything I wanted. In my seat, I had a giant bar in my way, so I couldn't see second and third base, which was great. Every time a ball was hit in the air, I couldn't tell where it went, but I loved it. And the seats where I sat were miserable. They were designed by the devil himself.
I mean, but were they really your seats?
Now they are after what happened. No, it was a great time. Honestly, Fenway was a fantastic stadium. I strongly, you know, you gotta make your pilgrimage there. Wrigley, this maybe Colorado, some places you absolutely have to hit up, right. And Fenway's one of them. So I was looking out on the Green Monster, and they have the AL East standings, and of course you have the Tampa Bay Rays in first, the Yankees in fourth, which is great to see, and at the bottom you had the Orioles. At 48 games back, I believe. And that kind of made me think, you know, they've obviously been eliminated from playoff contention, but what's the earliest a team has ever been eliminated from the playoffs? So I did a quick look-see, and it turns out it was the 1876 Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
Yeah, so of course we can do a story on them later.
Earlier than the Spiders?
Earlier than the Spiders. So, okay, the Spiders get a bad rap. They only had one or two bad years. Before that, they were a solid franchise. That's another episode. Okay. the 76 Reds. And then I thought, well, what about modern times? Because it was a completely different game in 1876. And that's what brought us to 1962 with the expansion franchise New York Metropolitans.
All right.
Yeah, so in the 40s and 30s and decades leading up to it, it seems like New York always had 18 teams. They had the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Giants. I'm sure they had like 15 others we just haven't heard about. So it was just a common place of baseball. But then in 57, when the Dodgers finally left New York, they only had the Yankees. And of course, the Yankees were an American League team as well. So it's no National League club, which is just an absolute sin in New York. So there was a guy in New York, William Shea, who was very influential around New York. He threatened to create a whole nother league, a competitive league, a competitor to the MLB, just to get another New York team. And so Major League Baseball said, okay, well, I don't think you're bluffing, so let's go ahead and give you guys another expansion. So that's when the Mets and the Houston Hopefully Fives came in 1962, came in at the same time. And the Mets, they wanted to make a big splash. They wanted to come out swinging, ready to go, and compete from day one. So one of the first things they did is hire Casey Stengel, the legendary manager of the New York Yankees, who won four World Series titles with them. But Casey was just let go, I think, two seasons earlier by the Yankees for losing a World Series, even though Casey said it's because he was old. Because he turned 70 years old, and they just thought, you know, you're old, we don't want to deal with it anymore.
It wasn't his facial hair?
It was not his facial hair. I don't think he had facial hair. And then once there was a quote out there after he got fired, he goes, yeah, turn these 70s where I get fired. I'll never make that mistake again. Okay. Oh, Casey. Yeah. So they bring in Casey Stengel. They bring in a whole bunch of former Dodgers as well, like Don Zimmer, Gil Hodges, a whole bunch of others. And they even brought in Richie Ashburn, who was a Hall of Fame career at this point, because this would be his last season. So they got the goodwill of the people, brought in the former favorite players. They got Casey Stengel. They even wrote a theme song a year before the franchise debuted. You know the name of it?
I'm going to assume it has something about, making acquaintance with a Metropolitan.
Yeah, you're about right. Making acquaintances with the Metropolitans, a hit song, Meet the Mets. Yeah.
I feel like this is where they screwed up, because you don't want to have you can't make a theme song before you play your first game.
No, you don't have a logo. There's no players to get behind. It's an idea.
Yeah. You don't have any feel for the team, and it's just, yeah. Okay. Well, they met the Mets. How did the Mets end up?
They lost 120 games is what they did. It was by far, 120 games. They won 40. Good for them. But yeah, that was a modern day record. And it wasn't exactly the best start either. They lose the opener against the Cardinals. That was an away game. They only had the one away game to open the season for some reason. I guess schedules were weird back then. And then the first home game was Friday the 13th, and they lost. Because, of course, it was Friday 13th. And then they lost for a week straight. They lost 9 games in a row following those two losses. And so the first time they win, the New York Times has the headline, "The Mets do it at last." Do what? Win a game.
So you're telling me it took them 9... They started their franchise history 0-9?
0-9, yeah. And I think at some point they were like 3-21 to start the franchise. So even in that season, two pitchers lost over 20 games. One was 20 losses. The other was 24. Another one lost 19. So with all this miserable stuff behind them, how are they called the lovable losers? I mean, obviously the Orioles are going to lose.
People feel bad for them.
People feel bad. Yeah, but what about like the Orioles? What about my Diamondbacks? True. We just exist in this netherworld, and we're not called lovable. How did the Mets get that title? What's going on there?
That's fair.
Yeah, so, right? I wish we could be lovable. We threw a no-hitter. That was fun.
You didn't even get credit for that.
It counts. It was 7 innings, but it counts.
Yeah.
So in my mind, they become lovable because they were a cast of misfits. They were people nobody wanted anymore. Like Casey Stengel was fired. They got the old Dodger players back together. And they played not even in their own stadium. They didn't have Shea Stadium yet. They were in the Polo Grounds at the time. So it was like a rotating sandlot team. Because if I remember, most of the players who, like I was there, most of the players who started that season, game one, they were gone by the end of it. I think Richie Ashburn was the one that stuck it out, and he called it quits after that.
The Mets, he couldn't take it anymore.
No, the Mets broke a Hall of Famer. I mean,
that football player that just retired mid game a couple years ago.
Oh, the mid game? I remember Andrew Luck.
He walked out at halftime in like week four or something.
Oh, anyway. Good for him. So yeah, bunch of misfits. They even had two players that had the most generic name, Bob Miller, both pitchers. One was a lefty, one was a righty. And Casey Stengel would get them mixed up all the time and call him Bob Nelson.
The button to auto-generate and fill out your rookie class for in your
video game. Bob Miller. And he's going to have no facial hair, typical, you know, little white face, I'm sure. Yeah, you're a typical NPC character there. But still, nearly a million people came out to watch him play. 922,000 folks. That was, I think, fourth in the league, and it was more than the Yankees drew.
And this is New York, but at the same time, they already have a team here.
Yeah, they have the effing Yankees. Yeah. And this is right after they just won.
They were good at this four. Time.
Yeah, they're not bad. Yeah. And so a couple of, I guess we call them lowlights in this case. You had Marvelous Marv Thronberry, who I actually haven't heard of before this. He was the first baseman, and with a nickname Marvelous, you think he'd be good at least, or halfway decent. Well, he made 17 errors at first base, which is a lot for first base.
Marvelously terrible,
yes. In a famous story, he hit a triple, but he was ruled out for not touching second base. And of course, Casey Stengel's up on the arms because he, you know, needs some happiness in his life at this point. So he goes out to argue with the umpire, and the umpire says, "Don't bother arguing, Casey. He missed first base too." And even Richie Ashburn gets in on it. He says, "We could all see from the dugout that Marv really didn't even come close to touching first base." Oh, goodness. And of course,
got the best dry humor. I feel like that's kind of the style. It's just such a dryly hilarious.
It feels like we have time to let the dry humor sink in. Like, we don't need to trash. We can trash talk, but we don't need to. It's just, here's how it is. Oh,
that's funny.
And of course, after Marvelous Marv was called out, the next batter hit a home run, and the Mets lost by one.
Oh, Marv.
Right.
Oh, you're killing me.
Another famous moment in Mets history. In April that year, the Mets got catcher Henry Chitty in a trade with the Indians for a player to be named later. Fast forward, and that player, Henry Chitty. So they traded for Chitty and sent him back after they didn't like it.
They traded him. Being traded for yourself. Is that a net positive? Like, are you excited that you get to go back? Because I'm sure he spent more time in Cleveland than he did in New York.
Well, I mean, honestly, in that year, I'm sure he was happy to go back to Cleveland, which is, you know, some people say. So, yeah, weird thing there. Yeah. And then at the end of the season, the very last day, the Mets had a rally going on in the eighth inning, and Joe Pignatano came up with two men on, nobody out. They're going to win the game. They're going to end the season on a high note and only lose 119 games. And then literally he hits into a triple play and lost the game. Gosh. What a way to go. And at the very end of the season, the reporter asked Casey, you know, was the season at least fun for you? And Stengel replies, "I don't have to say no to that one." He goes on to say, "I've been in the game 100 years, but I see new ways to lose I never knew existed before." So somehow this team that lost 120 games is remembered fondly. I guess I would need a Mets fan to step in here. The lovable losers, they remember. Gosh. I mean, they go on to become the Miracle Mets later on, but my goodness, that helps take away the sting. But I wish my team could remember this lovable after a season like that.
That's
so and by the way, the other expansion team, the Houston club, just so you know, it wasn't completely lopsided. They won 24 more games than the Mets. So this was purely on New York for losing.
Oh, man. I could do this. I could trash the Mets all day. That was...
Oh my goodness. So another thing, yesterday I was watching the Mets and Boston play.
The history of the Mets episode.
Oh, we could do that. Oh, that'd be terrifying. But really quick, I wanted to at least get through the seventh inning at Boston because I worked the next morning. 2.5 hours after first pitch, we're in the middle of the fourth because it's like 9-1 with the Mets losing. Like, it was miserable.
Wow. In the fourth, wow. That's,
yeah. So
that is brutal. But you got to go to Fenway.
I did. I got to see lovable losers. I mean, the 2021 Mets. Had a great time with it. Sorry, Mets fans.
I feel like it's less lovable when you have the potential to go to the playoffs. You know, that possibility.
Yeah, you get the Padre syndrome. It's going to happen.
Oh, man.
You know, sorry, guys. It's been a rough year for lots of folks. Don't say anything, Noah.
I've had a very rough year as well. If you hadn't noticed, the Dodgers might not win the division this year.
So that has been Short Hops and Tall Tales, everybody. Make sure to give us follows on Twitter at Short Hops PL. Follow myself at BD Riddle or Noah at Noah A. Scott 6. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yourselves your podcasts. Leave yourself a review too, and let us know what other topics you'd like us to cover. It's really fun to hear what you like, and we can kind of go back and forth and see what kind of golden nuggets we get from the stories. So I love how I stole this from Noah right after he talked about the Dodgers.
Unhinged, like this. I feel like the back half of this unraveled so quickly.
Well, sadly, this is the 24th episode now, so I think we're kind of getting comfortable and kind of getting to know each other a little bit, getting into a groove, and that leads to 48-minute episodes or what have you. So for Noah Scott, I'm Brandon Riddle, and this has been Short Hops and Tall Tales, and now you know the rest of the ball game.
Did you like come up with that in the shower and like you were waiting on that?
No, so that was a Paul Harvey sign off from the 90s when he did Now You Know the Rest of the Story.
Ah, I like it. I like it.
That was fun.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a 4-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.